A good name does not mean that you are perfect, but that you are being perfected by the one who is. That's Jesus. He's working in our lives. And we're going to talk about that, how God works in our lives and gives us his name, and how our name kind of comes more into conformity with his name in that sense. Now, for those of you who are parents, some of you have been through that experience of naming your child, your baby. Thinking about that, you might be even in that mode right now. You're expecting a child and you go, now what are we going to name him, name her? And I know sometimes you just throw out names, and there's so much association, isn't there? When you throw out a name and you say, well, what if we name him? And then you go, oh no, you know, that's that kid who picked on me in grade one, or whatever it might be, right? You sort of think about that. Or, I know for me, when I was thinking about my first child, it seemed big. Like, you know, by our fourth child, well, no, it was always important, but but for our first child, it was like, what are we going to name? And I just knew it was a boy. And I happened to be walking through a mall, and this sounds really funny, but there was, you know, those name cards where you have a name and you can get it posted on your door or whatever, and then it had the meaning of it. And I saw this one, and it just caught my eyes. It was Majestic Dignity. The name was Austin. Now, that's what I'm calling my son. I want him to have that. But, you know, it does kind of stick. Now, I want to throw out some famous names and just have you think for a moment, what does that mean? What do you think about when I say this name? Adolf Hitler. Winston Churchill. Billy Graham. Terry Fox. Gandhi. Osama bin Laden. Mother Teresa, and recently Queen Elizabeth. Don't we? Isn't she high on the profile of names right now? I thought it was neat that, you know, just having the, you know, people oftentimes question the monarchy and what's the use of the monarchy. But right now, you know, it's just really getting good play. And I saw people interviewed on a documentary. They were just talking about it, and the people in England were saying, you know, it just feels safe and secure to know that the queen is there. You know, just the word queen, that she's been there for 60 years. I thought it was pretty cool that she meets with the prime ministers. She's met with them ever since, like, I don't know, I think maybe Churchill was her first one, you know, and then you're thinking about Margaret Thatcher, Tony Blair. She's met with them weekly just to kind of talk, like, how's it going? Offer her advice, her wisdom. That's pretty cool. I think that there is some value to that, no question, when you've had that kind of longevity. But you know what? No matter what, in terms of wealth, and we know the monarchy has a lot of wealth, to have a good name is better than the royal jewels or whatever. I love what Socrates said. Regard your good name as the richest jewel you can possibly possess. And then the second part of it was, the way to gain a good reputation is to endeavor to be what you desire to appear. That's pretty cool, hey? To endeavor to be what you desire to appear. Now, good question. Why is a good name better? Well, first of all, a good name instills confidence. A good name instills confidence. People with integrity walk safely. Isn't that great to be able to have the freedom to just not have to remember what you did, or because you don't have to cover up for it? You're just going through with a sense of integrity. When you have what a good name really is about character. It's about who you really are. You know, it was interesting. We were doing a study on integrity, and Greg Hamill, remember this. We were meeting at the Wired Monk men's group, and the little article was about integrity, that morning's topic. And then it used an illustration or a quote or kind of an illustration of Tiger Woods. It just happened to be the week after it came out. We went, oh, okay, that really affects this kind of illustration this morning, right? Now, I know all of us come to times where we go, am I being integrous in everything I do? When it comes to work, am I putting in my full 40 if I'm at work? Am I, you know, when I'm getting involved in media, who am I talking to on Facebook? You know, would I ever go there down a path of, you know, cheating on somebody or whatever it might be, right? It's thinking about that and going, what would I do? I love the line of a book says, who you are when no one's looking. That's really what integrity is about. That affects our name. That affects our name. Some of you might have seen there's an NBC show out right now called My Kid Would Never Do That. My Kid Would Never Do That. And it's actually, they put plants in the situation. They give situations where kids can make a good decision or not a good decision. They choose what's better kind of thing. And it's kind of cruel, actually, because they put plants in there to influence the kids to to do the wrong thing. And they've got cameras rolling, right? So they do see everything. And this one situation, they said it was about cheating. My kid would never do that. And they say cheating is rampant through schools right now. They threw out a bunch of stats. It's like unbelievable what amount of cheating that's going on. And they gave them some questions. It was just on popular media. And they said, if you get these right, then maybe you're going to have a part in NBC or whatever. They give them a bit of a carrot. And then there's six kids sitting around a desk, and then they leave. And two of the kids are plants to try and influence the rest to share their answers with each other. And it's funny, you know, it's interesting to watch, right? When you're in that situation, you see the kids, you can see them get nervous, you can see their eyes kind of moving, you know, and some of them just jump right in. And I thought it was really interesting. They had this situation where there was like 16-year-old kids, and there was one 13-year-old. But he just, as soon as they started sharing answers, he was like really outspoken, really a kind of that kind of personality. But he goes, no, don't do that. And he just like puts his hat over his hands. He says, don't do that, you guys should know. And he was like really the only one who did. It's interesting how that affects our name, our reputation, who we are is affected by who we really are, right? Nikki Gumbel gives a great illustration in Alpha. He talks about this whole topic, and he says there was a executive assistant that was hired by a big-time executive, really powerful figure, powerful man in the world. She was first day or early on in her job answering the phone, and she gets a call, and it's somebody who wants him. She puts him on hold and says, there's somebody here to talk to you. And the executive says back to her, tell him I'm not here. And she hands him the receiver, turns it on, and says, you tell him you're not here. And he just looks at her with anger and fire in his eyes kind of thing, takes the call, and then comes back at her later, and she says, this is what her line to him was, if I can lie for you, I can lie to you. And he ended up trusting her with everything for the rest of his career. It builds a name when we have integrity. It instills confidence. A good name speaks for you. We're drawing from the words of Solomon in this. And, you know, there's an interesting story there about the Queen of Sheba. It says in 1 Chronicles 9:1. It says, when she heard of Solomon's fame, she came to Jerusalem to test him with hard questions. When she met with Solomon, she talked to him about everything she had on her mind. And then it says, later on, that she says, she exclaimed to the king, everything I heard in my country about your achievements and wisdom is true. I didn't believe what was said until I arrived here and saw it with my own eyes. In fact, I had not heard the half of your great wisdom. It is far beyond what was told. It was like Solomon's name spoke for him, went before him, and she came and gathered the wisdom from him and found out that actually it was even greater than what she had expected. Our reputation does go before us. Have you ever kind of felt like you've met someone before you actually meet them? You know, sometimes we have those situations, maybe in our field of work or whatever it is, or in the neighborhood or whatever, and we'd feel like, you know, I've heard about this person, and I've sort of know this person before I've actually even met them. You know, a few weeks ago we had our conference minister for our MB churches here speaking, and I mentioned that we go way back, and I used to be on his staff in Calgary. He was a pastor, and now he's kind of heading up our churches, and his name's Willie Reimer. Willie isn't a very common name, but when I was in college, I hung out with a group of guys who worked at a camp in Manitoba. And they came back from camp and said, yeah, there's this guy, Willie, who is overseeing us as counselors. And they had good things to say about him. And then a few years later, I heard again about this Willie guy, who is a college-age pastor for my siblings in Saskatoon. And they had good things to say about him. And then a few years later, it was kind of funny how this always worked, but I was at seminary down in California, and I heard about a guy who graduated the year before, and his name was Willie. And a few years later, my wife gets a phone call, and I wasn't home, and I come back, she said, there's this guy named Willie that called you, wondering if you'd be interested in being a pastor in Calgary. I go, Calgary? I don't know if I want to go there. No offense, but we found out to be a great thing. But because I had heard about his name, I gave him a call. We ended up having a conversation. I got off the phone and went, wow, that was really neat. I think there's a connection here. And we ended up going to Calgary as pastors. It's interesting how our name does go before us. And you know, those famous names, the ones I said earlier, When you think about it, they didn't mean anything when they were given. But now they really speak for themselves. Those names really do. The character makes the name, not the name that makes the character. You know, the good ones in that list that I gave you, they walked with integrity, obviously. And many of them did the thing that God called them to do. And that's what made their lives and kind of wrapped it up. Number three, a good name inspires others. The Apostle Paul is an incredible inspiration to us in many ways in terms of his courage, in terms of how he lived his life. And this is how a statement he makes. It's quite a bold statement, really, when you think about it. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Now, certainly Paul wasn't perfect. And in fact, Paul's past had been far from perfect. But he's saying, you know, I'm in this track. I'm going down this. And it's an inspiration, isn't it? To all of us, even a couple of centuries or millenniums later, to hear about Paul and go, yeah, that's inspiring. That's really inspiring. People need inspiration. And, you know, God gives us that opportunity to kind of live that out in our lives. And even when you think about the last few weeks and the topics that we've been covering, to have wisdom, people need to be inspired by wisdom. They need to be inspired by our inclusiveness, our togetherness. And last week, to be inspired by faith. When we live out faith, it's catchy. It inspires others. And when Peter mentioned that he was going to speak on faith last week, I said, Peter, that's your sweet spot. Because he really does live by faith. Like, he's just a faith-filled person. And it's inspiring to be around that. And oftentimes, you know, we think, you know, I can't be that. I'm just so-and-so. I'm just whatever it is. A laborer or a parent or a whatever the job is, and we think, you know, big names, famous, but ultimately, isn't it really the people that we rub shoulders with, that have rubbed shoulders with us over the years, that really, that we can look to and say, I can remember them, and I'm inspired by them. You know, we almost had a Stanley Cup winner last night, and sometimes you'll remember who wins the Stanley Cup maybe that year, or maybe even who gets the Conn Smythe trophy, right? But do you remember 10 years ago? You don't remember 10 years ago. Unless you're maybe a sports kind of person, real sports fanatic. Who won American or Canadian Idol 5 years ago? Don't remember that. Who won Oscar for Best Actress 7 years ago? We just don't realize, we don't remember those things, but we do remember people who have impacted us. It might be a teacher. You go, I can remember that person's name. They called me to something better. Or I remember that coach, or I remember whatever. For me, it was a youth pastor. The person that inspired us and called something out in us, we remember their name. We remember their name. Now, we might find ourselves in that place where we go, I don't know, do I have a good name? Maybe, you know, all of us kind of look at our lives and go, I feel very far from that. You know, the great thing is that God can do a work in our hearts and can change us and bring our hearts alive. There's a church in Sardis, not Sardis, B.C., but Sardis, I guess it would be Western Turkey, that a letter was written through the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. He wrote letters to a whole bunch of churches. And this is what he says. I know the things that you do and that you have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. It's quite a statement, isn't it? He says, you've got this name that's out there that you're doing. But you know what? Ultimately, God knows our hearts. And we, to some degree, know our hearts. God knows them even better. He knows who we really are. And this would have been a very difficult evaluation for these people to hear. But you know, the great thing is, no matter where we are at, we're in the company of those who need what God has given. It says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Like, we've all not measured up. We've all had times where we've lacked integrity, or where we just haven't been what we know we want to be. God says, you know what? I am there to meet that. That's the whole purpose of Christianity, is for God to take his name, and the Bible again and again talks about it being a name that's above every name, and he puts it in our hearts, and he says, I'm going to put the name of Christ in your heart and in your life. And in fact, the name Christian came out of the idea that they are like Christ-like. They are Christ followers. They are little Christ, literally. God says, I want to do that in you. And he invites us to have his presence come into our lives and to be that name for us, really. We can say, you know what? I need you, God. I need you to do that. Because so oftentimes we feel very far from what we hope to be or what we aspire to be. And we don't have to stay stuck or we don't have to give up. We can have faith and believe that God will put his name, put his life into us. So for a person who may feel in bondage, and I have a little chart here, you know, it's so good to look at things. And I know in many ways the freedom sessions that we do at Coast Hills, and that's part of what we offer here, it looks at these kind of concepts and it says, you might feel like you're in bondage, but Galatians 5 tells you that through the name of Jesus, you've been set free. You might feel very distant or far from God, but Ephesians 2 says, I brought you near. That's what Jesus did on the cross for us. You might feel unlovable or unacceptable, but Romans 15 says you're accepted, that Jesus accepts you. You may feel filthy or sinful. 2 Corinthians 5 says you're a new creation. Those are the things that we can take to the bank. That's really what we'd say in our lives. You know what? This is what I know. Jesus, his name, is ultimately what makes me better. It's what actually is ultimately all I need. It's everything. Jesus is that good. In fact, he is perfect. And he takes and he puts his character and he puts his name on our lives. And so whatever our position might be or our past has been or even this day or this week has been, he says, you know what, I put my name on you. And that's the great hope. A good name is better. A good name is better. That's the thing that we invite and we say through prayer, God, I want you to do that in my life. And like Peter said at the beginning of the message or at the beginning of the service, he said, we're going to give you an opportunity. If you'd like to pray with somebody, and it may be just some word of encouragement, it might be a response. You might say, you know what, I really want to pray with it, with somebody. You might even just say, I aspire to be this or to let God do this through me this week. I want him to work in my life. We want to give you an opportunity to pray with somebody. And we'll do that just as we close. So I want to invite the worship team to come up. And I'm going to invite us to stand together in a moment. And I'm just going to close with prayer. God, I just want to thank you that you take your name and you put it in our lives, that you write your name across ours, really. And in doing so, you don't take away our individuality, but you place something, a covering over us. And Lord, I just pray, there might be somebody here is for the first time saying, God, I want your name, I want you in my life. Or we just invite you in. And or it might be some of us here who say, you know what, I know that in this way or whatever, I just want to see that be different in the future. I thank you, God, that you come and you take care of that and you move us towards who you are. And I just thank you that through you, Lord, you can change us. I thank you for the challenge. I pray that you would help us to put our value in what is better this week. A good name in your name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand, if you would. We're going to close with a song. And as I said, there's people at the back who are there to pray with you along the side. Peter will be there, and Kim will be over in the back corner there, and Heinz and Amergy. If you'd like to pray with anybody, they're there for you to pray with during this closing song.